All right, wish to greet you all this morning in the precious name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It's a blessing to be here with you this morning. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Father, we come before you this morning and we thank you for your goodness and for your mercy. We just ask your blessing, Father, upon this time together. Lord, I pray that you would help us to hear your word. Lord, to be in tune with you, Father. Lord, to have faith and courage in you. Lord, again, we thank you for all that you do for us. Again, we thank you in Jesus' precious holy name. Amen. All right. Let's open our Bibles this morning to the book of Revelation. Revelation chapter 6. I don't use Revelation as a book of prophecy like many do. It's a book in the Bible that is trying to show us how to live. One of the questions, or whenever I'm questioned a lot of times about prophecy or things to come or the future, I tell people that the purpose of this book is to teach us how to live now. So many people are so worried about what the future is going to bring that they may have it all figured out even. But in doing so, they don't know how to live. And I tell people that the best way to prepare for the future is to be right with God today. It doesn't matter what the future holds. If we're not right with the Lord today, we're not going to be right with the Lord whenever it's time to be right with the Lord. So with that in mind, I want us to read here just a few words. Probably read most of this chapter. It said, "Then I saw when the Lamb broke out of the seven seals, and I heard one of the four living creatures say, as with a loud voice of thunder, Come. I looked, and behold, a white horse, and he who sat on it had a bow, and a crown was given to him, and he went out conquering and to be conquered. When he broke the second seal, I heard the second living creature say, Come. And another, a red horse, went out, and to him who sat on it, it was granted to take peace from the earth, and that men would slay one another, and a great sword was given to him." Look at the picture here. These are seals that are in heaven, and God is allowing these seals to be broken. You know, whenever we think of God loves us or the love of God, sometimes we have a hard time reconciling that God's love could allow bad things to happen to people. The problem is that God is desiring that people would return to Him. And the reason he allows bad things to happen is because he has given man his own free will and his own choice. And when man just will not serve him, will not do what's right, that causes harm to other people. That hurts other people. But God allows that. He allows man's will to choose to hurt someone else, because God loves us so much that He will not go against our will. That is so much the fundamental part of creation, that God gave man a will to choose who he's going to serve. And when man chooses to serve evil, he'll rise up and hurt other people. But it's the man that's doing it. It's Satan that's doing it. God's love for us is that we have your own free will to choose who you're going to serve. No matter what people with evil intentions will do to us, we have to choose above all things who we're going to serve. His love for mankind is not the emotional, giddy kind of love. It's a steadfast love that's based on who you are and your ability to choose who you're going to serve. That's why so many things that are going on in the world turn us from that. Turn us from trusting and having faith in the Lord into things that bring us into bondage. God hates bondage. Not just someone put in jail, but God hates the bondage that comes to the human will. That's why Christ came, to come to set us free from Satan's grip on our will. When Jesus died, He broke that power that Satan had on us to hold us and to drag us into his hell. And so when someone takes the will of man away, makes us a robot just to go along with everything without a will, that's the thing that God hates. God loves the thing that you can make a choice to turn from this world, turn from yourself, and turn to Him. So when these things happen, it's not because God is mad and wants vengeance on everyone. It's because these are the things that have to happen to show man, to show us that there are a few people who, even going through all of this, will choose to still have trust and faith in God. You know, people have a hard time reconciling the Old Testament from the New, where Jesus tells us in the New to turn the other cheek and to love our enemies, where in the Old Testament they were told to annihilate them. In the Old Covenant, the promise was that God would send a Savior. And so they chose the people of Israel and the bloodlines of Israel to bring Christ into the world. There was no remedy for sin. That's why they were put to death by the stoning. Wicked people were put to death. There was no remedy for sin. It just grew and grew. And entire nations would become so corrupt, and then they would turn on God's people so that they would be destroyed. And so God told the children of Israel to fight, because what they were fighting for was not just a piece of ground, or not just a sovereign, to be a sovereign nation. They were fighting to preserve the line that would bring Christ into the world. And so He commanded them to get rid of the evil that was corrupting the whole earth all around them, because He loved mankind. And when mankind had become so corrupt, He said, it's got to be destroyed. Whenever there's a new heaven and a new earth that comes down, it's because the old, the corrupt, the wicked, the vile will be taken out, and only the good will remain in the kingdom of heaven, so that it will flourish and prosper. That's why evil has to be dealt with. That's why God has to deal with evil. And He's commanded us not to go fix all the problems, but to be able to overcome by loving our enemies and doing good to those that do evil. To rise above the fray of two people in a war and in a battle. You know, no one wins in a fight. No one wins in a fight. You know, we think, well, the guy that's standing last, he's the winner. He's just hurt another human being. He hasn't won. He's brought condemnation and guilt upon his own soul. He's brought himself into the chains of darkness. He hasn't won. The only way that we overcome, though the body may be destroyed, is to continue to forgive and love our enemies. Above, rising above what this world offers. It's not that we can't fight, or we won't, or we're a bunch of sissies. It's because we're choosing to fight a bigger battle, to rise above these things, to love our enemies. That's why in the Old Testament, it wasn't because they were just vicious warriors, the children of Israel. They did this because they were defending the very existence of humanity to preserve this royal seed that God would fulfill His promise through these people. But when the world becomes so corrupt and so wicked, it won't be the saints rising up to purify the world again. There's no need for that. It will be God eliminating and destroying a very corrupt, a very wicked, an unredeemable group of His creation. Because there's nothing but corruption that will be brought forth from it. That's why these seals will be released. That's why these things will be opened. It's to bring this world to the place where it can be purified. In the end, God will destroy everything with fire. This whole earth will be destroyed. And only those people who have sought to follow Jesus, have sought to trust in the Lord and to have faith, will enter that kingdom. All through the Bible we see in the flood, the whole world was populated, and yet 8 people made it out of that flood. 8 people were on that ark because they believed in God. The rest were destroyed. All through the Bible, there's just a small number of people who had enough courage and enough faith to follow Jesus. Verse 5. When He broke the third seal, I heard the living creature say, "Come." I looked, and behold, a black horse, and he who sat on it had a pair of scales in his hand. And I heard something like a voice in the center of the four living creatures say, "A quart of wheat for a denarius, and 3 quarts of barley for a denarius, and do not damage the oil and the wine." Here we've got one went out to conquer. And one was given a sword. One was given a balance. Wars. Dominion. Starvation. And when the Lamb broke the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the fourth creature saying, "Come." I look, and behold, an ashen horse. And he who sat on it had the name of Death, and Hades was following him. Authority was given him over a fourth of the earth to kill with the sword and with famine and with pestilence and by the wild beast of the earth. A fourth of the earth with war, sword, famine, starvation, nothing to eat, pestilence, disease running all through the earth, and wild beast of the earth. You know, we think we've got them tamed and calmed. But wild beast, we don't hear much of that, someone being killed by a wild beast. When the Lamb broke the fifth seal, I saw underneath the altar the souls of those who had been slain because of the word of God and because of the testimony which they had maintained. And they cried out with a loud voice, saying, "How long, O Lord, holy and true, will you refrain from judging and avenging our blood on those who dwell on the earth?" And there was given to each of them a white robe, and they were told that they should rest for a little while longer until the number of their fellow servants and their brethren who were to be killed, even as they had been, would be completed also. Who are we talking about here? We're talking about the saints. These who have died and suffered, gone on before, are waiting. And the Lord says, "How long?" And He gave them a white robe. And He said, "You have to wait a little while until the rest finish their course. Until some of them will be slain, like you. Just wait." And I looked, and He broke the sixth seal, and there was a great earthquake. And the sun became black as sackcloth made of hair, and the whole moon became like blood. And the stars of the sky fell to the earth as a fig tree cast its unripe figs when shaken by a great wind. And the sky was split apart like a scroll when it is rolled up, and every mountain and island were moved out of their places. Then the kings of the earth and the great men and the commanders and the rich and the strong and every slave and free man hid themselves in the caves and among the rocks of the mountains. And they said to the mountains and to the rocks, "Fall on us and hide us from the presence of Him who sits on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of their wrath has come, and who is able to stand?" You read across that, sounds pretty fearful, doesn't it? Fearful. So much so, things that are coming upon the earth that the rich men, the powerful men, the great men of the earth will run to the caves and beg the rocks to fall on them, to hide them. These things are coming upon the earth. Jesus talked about perilous times. Paul talked about perilous times. Jesus talked about fearful times. Disease, sickness, wars, rumors of wars, people dying. And they talked about those who maintain the faith through all of that. One of the greatest weapons that Satan has is complacency, lukewarmness, carelessness. If he can make you comfortable, he can lull you right to sleep so that you're not ready when these things happen. You know, all through history, the time the church prospered was whenever she was being attacked. But the devil couldn't destroy the church that way. But if you read history and you look through history, the way he destroyed it is when she fell asleep. When it didn't take any faith to follow the Lord, it just became rote, ritual, routine. How many times Jesus tells us to watch, to wait? And how many times he tells us, do not be afraid, I am with you. We see these things that are coming upon the earth. We see things happening around us. And we begin to be afraid. Fear is the enemy of faith. You know, every hero has been afraid. But he rose above his fear and followed what he was supposed to do. Think of the spies of Israel that Moses sent out into the promised land. And they all went out and they saw the fruit. They saw the goodness of the land. So when they came back, but they also saw the enemy. And they came back and Caleb and Joshua said, let's go in and take it. They're big. They're big. They look mean. But let's go. And the other 10 come back and told about what was there. And they said, they're big and they're mean. And they'll eat us alive. They'll destroy us. They were scared. And they came back and they discouraged the people. And they began to murmur and complain about God. And what was the foundation of it? They succumbed to their fear. Fear can either make you a coward or give you courage. We all have it. But it'll do one of two things in you. It'll make you a coward, or it'll give you courage. These two had the same amount of fear as the others. But they took the fear that was directed towards them and found courage to trust in God. The 10 became cowards. That's why I think in Revelation at the end of it, it says, when the Lord returns, Revelation 12:8, it says, but the fearful and the unbelieving. And then it goes on to a whole list of wicked, wicked things we would never do. But it starts with the fearful and the unbelieving. They shall have their part to be cast aside. Jesus didn't call you to a merry-go-round. He called you to a cross. The whole world is going through the same things you're going through. You know, all these things we read about, these horrible things that are coming upon the earth, some people have lost their lives. Some have been hung on crosses. Some have been nailed upside down on crosses. Some have been beheaded. Some have had everything taken away from them. Hebrews. Chapter 11, verse 32. I'll just read it. And what more shall I say? For the time shall fail me if I tell of Gideon, of Barak, Samson, Jephthah, of David and Samuel and the prophets, who by faith conquered kingdoms, performed acts of righteousness, obtained promises, and shut the mouths of lions. You don't think these people faced fear? They took their fear and turned it into courage. What did they do? Some just found a handful of stones to face a giant. Some were thrown into lions' dens. Some just believed promises. But it all took the same amount of courage and faith. But they all had the fear. They quenched the power of fire, escaped from the edge of the sword, from weakness were made strong, became mighty in war, put foreign armies to fight, flight. Women received back their dead by resurrection. And others were tortured. Others were tortured. Others were tortured. A horrible word. Not accepting their release so that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others experienced mockings, scourgings, yes, also chains and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn in two, they were tempted, they were put to death with the sword. They went about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, ill-treated. Men of whom the world was not worthy. Wandering in deserts and mountains and caves and holes in the ground. All these, having gained approval through their faith, did not receive what was promised. Because God had provided something better for us, so that apart from us, they would not be made perfect. There they are. Look at what they've gone through. We're afraid of what might happen. We're afraid of what might happen. One time, a long time ago, a man asked me about dying for the Lord. Are you ready to die for the Lord? We'd all like to say, yeah, I'm ready. I'd die for the Lord. My question is, will you live for Him? If you cannot live for Him, you will not die for Him. If the first little seal that's broken, as it were, scares you to death, sends you into a fearful panic, what are you going to do if someone sticks a knife to your throat and says, deny Jesus or die? I don't know Him. Oh boy, I don't know Him. Get that knife away from me. You're afraid because the world's afraid. If you're fearful because everyone around you is scared to death, you're going to be just as fearful when everyone else is fearful. Whenever the real test comes. If we're afraid to live for Him, we'll be afraid to die for Him. If a little bug puts us into a panic, a fearful panic frenzy, what are you going to do when an ashen horse comes riding by, bringing famine, sword, disease, starvation comes riding in. You're going to be running for the holes just like everybody else in the world's running for the holes. Today is the day we choose to live for the Lord. Because if you won't live for Him right now, you will not live for Him then. Satan can guide a panic-stricken person to wherever he wants to send them. I think some of the stuff that's going on in the world today is just to prepare us to whether we're going to just follow the mob or not in fear. Everything seems scary and it sets the world into a panic. Yeah, it's fearful. Yeah, it's serious. Yes, people die. But are you going to choose to be courageous or to be a coward? See, how you tell the future is by knowing what you see today. The prophets wasn't no magic thing to look out into seeing what's going to happen. They read the landscape today. Because when people were scared to death over the least little things, he could see they weren't going to stand when it got serious. Satan can guide a fearful heart, just like God will guide a faithful heart. Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus. Come, the four horses of the apocalypse. Come, a little bug. Come, what may. But if we don't trust Him today, we won't trust Him. And it doesn't matter how well you understand prophecy. If you don't live for Him today, you won't die for Him tomorrow. ...90% of what worries people never happens. 90% of what worries people never happens. But they let fear paralyze them. We don't know the future. We don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. And if we sit around and fret and worry, it will paralyze us and turn us into cowards. To trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not to your own understanding. Though I pass through the shadow of death, I shall fear no evil, for Thou art with me, my guide and my comfort. How were they able to say things like that? Because they had something that the world didn't have. They trusted God. Isn't it a miserable thing to see that the only hope you have is to be scared to death all your life? That's a miserable existence. Turn that into faith. Turn that same fear into courage that melts the biggest among us into being a coward. going through trials strengthens us. Fear debilitates us. Fear destroys us. Going through these things that we're afraid of will strengthen us. Look at those that went through faith. They got stronger. And those who failed to go through got weaker until they were destroyed. How are we going to die for Jesus if we can't live for Him today? May the Lord add His blessings.
I sing of
Why?